Welcome to Culture Matters, a podcast exploring the intersection between faith and culture. Chels, you're joining me in the studio today.
Hey.
And I'm very thankful because of the topic we're covering. But I think the biggest news to cover is that Liz is back. Liz, how are you?
I'm good, minus this nasty cough I've got.
That's not why you've been missing, though.
No,
we don't want people to think. Catch us up. Where you been?
Yeah, I have been writing and working on two book projects, one on Galatians and one kind of on a different approach to apologetics and in examining the gospel. And it's a better gospel. Seven reasons why the gospel is not only true, but the way to a better life. And so I think of it as like an apologetic of beauty. Like why the gospel is more beautiful. But, you know, writing, I just got to get in the zone. And I was like, let me just do this so the people that I have contracts with aren't like, give us our money back. That's not fun. That's not fun at all.
Man, I'm so thankful for the way God has gifted you. Like,
that's
even
awesome.
Just that pitch on,
I know, I'm excited
on
about
the
that.
Apologetics and the way you're doing that is, it's going to be a gift, man. And, and I think it's like really, it's important for the time we live in right now to connect it to flourishing and beauty. Wow. That's really cool. Well, I can't wait. Especially because once you're done, you'll be back with us. So that's really why I can't
wait. More importantly.
But yeah.
These are facts.
Well, Chels, very, very true. What are we talking about today?
Movies.
Okay. I like
lights,
that.
Lights, camera, action.
Yeah. We've done a couple of like heavy
we have
episodes, Christian nationalism,
Spring's
institutions.
Spring's been a lot of like nerd talk.
Yeah, thank you very much.
but no, it's been great. But I think we should do a lighter one today.
Great.
And have some fun.
You know, it's Oscar season. In fact, at time of recording, the Oscars were last night. And it is a cultural phenomenon. It's a time where a lot of movies that have had an important cultural impact are rewarded. And so we kind of get to see that process and see who wins. We thought it'd be fun to talk about it.
Yep.
Cool. Well, let's dive in.
Let's do it.
What are your just general takeaways from the night, Liz and Chelsea? Anything stand out? Any surprises? That kind of stuff.
Did you watch highlights or the show?
I watched highlights,
okay.
But I saw enough to see somebody showed up with no clothes on.
Yeah, I missed that. I missed that one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, surprised they got away with that.
Throwback,
honestly.
Though,
yes.
To a famous moment
that
in
was
Oscar
a deep
history.
Pop culture reference.
It was a pop culture reference where somebody streaked the Oscars before, and they tried to make a joke out of it. So,
Well, you go, Liz. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, I'll take the fun one. I'm just Ken.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling. It was just, I mean, I like that song in the movie. It was just fun and it was cute. And I think it was a good moment because I think Barbie should have had more good moments, but I think we're going to talk about that too. But that was one of my favorites from what I saw about the Oscars.
Yeah, that was a good one for sure. It was very fun.
I think that was like, actually the most fun part of the night.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I think, I don't know if you guys remember the Blame Canada performance.
Yes.
But I think, like, that was in my childhood, if that ages me. And then this one, I'm like, I think I'll remember this for a long time. But I liked it because it felt like this Oscar show overall, they weren't taking themselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think Barbie is one of those movies that, like, didn't take itself as seriously as people did. And so I appreciated that as like a staple for that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. We were talking a little bit beforehand. Were you surprised that Barbie won for, the song, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The other song. But that was it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Are you surprised by that? 'Cause it was such a cultural phenomenon this past year.
I mean, no, there was a couple things I thought if it had in each, I knew that song would win. It was like 50-50. It's either Ken or the other Barbie song.
Sure, sure.
Because I feel like those two songs also encompass that movie where it's like playful and then the more serious existential thing. Mm-hmm. And so the existentialism won. I kind of was surprised by production design a little bit. because I just thought they did such a good job with that movie, and they did a lot of old cinema techniques, if you're kind of nerdy and technical, and just did like moving screens and like the soundstage environment. And Greta just like spent a lot of time on that part of the movie, and I really enjoyed it. But I mean, there was just a lot of competition. Sure. Oppenheimer was huge.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, like, we were talking about this, Adam and I, there was a lot of small movies that were really, people really resonated with. Mm-hmm. And so that's interesting, too.
Let's talk about the big winner in Oppenheimer. So Oppenheimer, which was one of my favorite films of the year, both for its cultural critique and just as a cinematic experience, it was really, really pretty incredible. So it pretty much swept, really.
Yeah. Most of the biggies, yeah.
Yeah, and so Cillian Murphy won for Best Actor, Robert Downey Jr., Best Supporting Actor, and then it won Best Picture and other
film
things as
editing,
well.
Film editing, yeah. Ludwig won for the score, yep. Which he's incredible, really young guy, like kind of up-and-coming talent. Usually that song category, I mean, that score category is like a kind of the same old names, like Hans Zimmer's nominated again. Yeah. And you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of cool to see a young guy win. And then also Hoyta, who works with Christopher Nolan a lot,
okay,
won for cinematography.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Yeah. So well-deserved. Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, I always think that I don't want to take us so quickly to sort of the analytical side, but I always think the Oscars are sort of Hollywood's critique on the time we inhabit. You know, they want it to, well, I'll save some of my cultural analysis for later, but I did find it interesting that when the world is at war, right?
Yeah.
You have Russia and Ukraine, you have the conflict in the Middle East. Those are things that are happening in the backdrop of all of this, that a film that both talked about the war machine and the technological aspects of war and a man's grappling with the after effects of that, right? Coming out for peace, that's Oppenheimer. I thought it was interesting that they won so much of that. And I feel like that was a thread throughout the night. We heard a lot about war and peace. Any you guys make anything of that?
Do you think that's do you think that maybe, Liz, you have an idea? This is a question, genuine question. Do you think that, because those movies have been in process for years, but do you think there's sort of like an interesting, the movies that rise to the top maybe are the ones that do speak to the whatever's going on, you know, right now it's maybe war.
Yeah. Cause what was the movie about it was the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. Zone of Interest.
And so that one won too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have, I do see this theme of kind of where we're at and how that affected the movies that rose to the top and how the stories that they're telling and the commentary about how we can view the things that are happening right now, especially when you have the folks commenting in their acceptance speeches. So that was probably another moving aspect for me was the guy who did the movie on Ukraine, the names are
yes. He won for Best Director.
He won for Best Director. He's like, man, I never wish I would have had to make this. I never wish that Russia would have invaded Ukraine. And then you have just commentary on what's happening in Gaza. And it felt very heavy on what you were talking about, Adam, of just where we're at and how that has risen to the top, like you said.
Yeah. And that wasn't, I'm sorry, I said Best Director. I mean, he was the director of the Best Documentary. Supposedly outside, there was a big protest against the conflict in Gaza, and they had to delay the start or something like that. So, to both of you guys and what you're commenting on, I don't know that it's like the movies are made for that purpose, but I think what happens is the jury who votes on the movies are past winners and things like that, and I think they are voting conscious of what's happening in the world. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's kind of like a nature nurture thing. I think probably there's some elements of where the culture is getting into the movies, and then where the movies are matching the culture.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
It's weird because like I'm moving us out of category, so drag us back. But, you know, the Oscars as a cultural phenomenon are weird. We enjoy them because we like film a lot, right? Yeah. So we love watching movies and film. I think it's one of the last bastions of the public intellectual. And so I think it's important to pay attention to as Christians who are both in the world but not of it, to see what kind of artifacts culture's producing, like movies. And so we like it for that reason, but as a cultural centerpiece, I feel like it is extremely disconnected from culture. It feels like a very sort of Hollywood coastal phenomenon that's really for meaning-starved people that try to find meaning. It's super self-congratulatory. It's really, you know, and so there's a way to watch it through cynical eyes, and yet there's always nuggets of like beauty that can come out in those moments. You know, I think I was looking back, somebody was commenting on, you know, Tom Hanks' acceptance speech when he won, or even the exuberance of like when Good Will Hunting won, the exuberance of those young guys and what they were you know, so it's like there's these moments of genuine beauty that can break through, and commentary that I think's important for us to pay attention to. And at the same time, I watch it with a bit of curiosity. I always kind of watch it feeling very alienated from it and very curious about it, you know? In other words, there's like the on the face thing, which is like, oh, these people are winning and that's cool. And oh my gosh, wow, that one for that. And, you know, that's kind of the experience I enjoy. But there's also like a script underneath where I'm like, man, this is sad.
There's something you know? To it. Yeah.
I don't know. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the Academy Awards are disconnected from popular culture.
Yeah.
And at part of me, I think that, I don't know if they would pride themselves on that, but would want that. I'm kind of this more of a elite intellectual perspective of the art that's been created through the movies. But it just, even in some of the movies that didn't make the cut, I think you find the Academy always fall into this. I feel like last year they did a great job of being more diverse. I don't know if that was because of the negative attention they were getting from their lack of diversity. But this year there are a couple movies where I was like, man, I would have liked to seen that be a contender. Whether it was a couple of Asian films that came out this year that were wonderful. The Color Purple was a really good movie. You know, they had one nomination for, I think, supporting actress. But it just is, to me, it's the disconnect of, you are in a place that a lot of other people are not. And the space of, I think what's interesting is the disconnect exists, but it still maintains this place of significance in determining what holds value. And so people can be frustrated with what doesn't get represented, but yet and still we view the Academy Awards with such weightiness for what is actually good and what is not. And I don't know if maybe because of that disconnect, they should hold that weight. But
well, it's interesting, you know, and we can come back to some of the winners in a second. But for all the things you said, Liz, I find it interesting. It's like it's sort of the last award show that matters. Like no one cares about the Grammys, dude. Like people have known for a long time that Grammys are like the Grammys have chosen the least significant cultural album. Like anybody who really loves music, they're like, man, I'll just give you one. For instance, best rock album years and years ago when OK Computer came out, which is a Radiohead album, right? This is early 90s, so it's not controversial. It's like that album sort of changed music.
Yeah.
And that album was like everyone knew who was a critic, like, oh, that's the best rock album of the year. And they picked like an old Bob Dylan album, which I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan, but he's way past his prime. And that's what won. And it was like, that's been the feeling of the Grammys for a long time. It's like, man, the people who are picking the music don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it doesn't drive more sales. Yeah. I mean, I think there's some Grammys that are probably more nuanced that still hold like technical type
Americana
awards or even that, like, you know,
jazz.
Best gospel album or something. Maybe people like jazz, those kind of things. But for the popular music, most people are just like, this doesn't matter, you know. But then you go to like an Oscars and like those movies that win the Oscar, people go see them after that. You know what I mean? People aren't like, wow, that person won a Grammy, I better go buy their out. No one cares,
right?
You know, and I think that's true across different award ceremonies that are kind of public. Maybe you watch it for the award, but it doesn't or for the spectacle, but it doesn't really move culture. And you're right, Liz, it seems to be the last place where people really do pay attention, whether we like the messages or not. People do pay attention to who wins the Oscars, you know.
It does draw attention. I mean, I don't remember when they made that change where they went from 5 best pictures to 10.
Right.
But like, I love that.
I do too.
The people I was watching with last night, we were talking about it, and some people were like, it's too many, I can't keep up. And I was like, I love that it opens up, because then you can have a movie like Oppenheimer and a movie like American Fiction or Zone of Interest in the same category.
Right.
And that just used to be really hard to find. And I think it was the American Fiction is an interesting movie.
It is, yeah.
And it it won screenplay adapted,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yep. And then that guy, his speech was interesting because he was like, you know, here I am. I'm thankful to be here having not made a $200 million movie. Like you can make $45 million movies. Like, it's good to think about all the different ways that you can create art and on smaller budgets. And that it was almost like he was like pleading for people to think about film that way. And
yeah.
I think you need both. Like you do need the $200 million Barbie movie, but you also need the $4 million American Fiction movie. And they both live in the same universe, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's crazy, you know, Christopher Nolan, he's the director of Oppenheimer, and he's done, you know, Batman. He's done such a wide variety of popular and this is his first Oscar. But what he mentioned in his acceptance speech, he said, film is a little over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And he was like, think about where we were like after painting, right?
Yeah.
Painting's like super old, right? Super ancient. And 100 years into that tradition, where was, you know, where is it? And he's like, who knows where this is going to go? And I think there is something interesting, you know, the whole industry of film is really in an actually pretty uncertain future.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more moving to streaming services. So people are doing a lot more series and they're doing different formats, you know. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to movie theaters, but I would argue those still need to be a mainstay of American culture. I love the theater experience. It's really awesome. But I do think if I was to project, I do think in a post-COVID world where we want things at our fingertips, I think the movies that sort of make it and the theaters that make it are going to probably be a lot more specialized. Yeah. So you'll have like indie theaters that show indie movies that are released simultaneously, and then you'll have a couple big blockbusters a year.
Yeah.
But I saw that the biggest movie house just filed for bankruptcy again, a movie company. So a movie theater company. So it is interesting to just think like it's still fairly early on in the genre, 100 years old.
Yeah.
It's got an uncertain future, and yet movies are still really maybe one of the best ways to tell a story in our culture right now, you know? Yeah.
It's a good medium for storytelling, and you can show a lot of the like brutality of humanity. And I'm thinking about like the nominees. It was like, okay, so Zone of Interest, I don't know who saw that, but I thought it was just devastatingly good.
It won Best Foreign
Best
picture,
foreign, yeah, best foreign picture, and then sound, which it's normally
Chelsea,
the sound, yeah.
Tell the folks what Zone of Interest is about.
Let me explain it. Sorry. It basically is based on a true story, and it's the family of the leader of Auschwitz. And they lived outside the walls of the camp in a house, a nice house with
like
a garden.
Like right outside the walls.
Like right out, like on the other side of the walls. And so you're just sort of watching this family, almost like documentary style. And the director, Jonathan Glazer, he really wanted to like, he did not want to make a Holocaust movie showing the what you are used to seeing, I guess. He wanted to make a movie that made you had to think more. And so everything that's going on inside the camp, you only hear through sound. You never see anything brutal. And then you're just following this family. And there's like I think it's a really interesting movie that explores what it takes for evil to prevail. Mm. And it's not a question of like, how awful can you be? It's actually a question of how cold and disconnected and kind of soulless can you be, because that's what's really happening. Like they're murdering millions of Jews, but those are just numbers and files, and they're making decisions like it's, I don't know, like it's like just any normal job, which is just mind-boggling if you care about people, and we know God cares about people. So it's like obviously very anti goodness and anti God, but it's just it. So I thought that explored a lot of interesting topics. And then a movie like Anatomy of the Fall was really, really, really well done. And just like a good courtroom movie, which I was like, when was the last time we had a good courtroom movie? I love a good courtroom movie.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that movie. And then you have the Oppenheimers and the Barbies, and those were just as fun. So I just appreciate the spectrum, I guess, of the of the choices and the films and everything being in the same room together.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? I mean, what I would say is I saw The Boy and the Heron, which is an animated feature. I took my kids to see it.
So good.
Which I'm not... they liked it, but it's a Japanese animation film from Studio Ghibli, which made like really famous classic films like... My Neighbor Totoro is really old, but all the way to Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle, a bunch of films. Anyways, to those who are like, I'll take my kids. It's like, it's kind of weird. So maybe watch
it's anime.
Yeah, it's anime. It was wonderful, and I'm really glad it won. It's just the director Hayao Miyazaki. He's like a living legend. When he dies, it's kind of like. Like, honestly, he's like the grandfather of that genre. And so he's older now. So we will have lost kind of a living legend when he goes. And so to see his films, you understand that you're watching something special, you know, like almost like not even the content, but just the way it's animated, if that makes sense, and the imagination and those kind of things. So it's a cool film. I really do commend it to people. It's really interesting. And the stories, because they're Eastern, they feel strange to it doesn't follow the like logical pattern of like most of our animated films that we'd see. It's like, oh, okay, the cute characters and a problem arises, and then you're like half the time you're watching and you're like, I don't really understand, you know. And so it's good. I think it throws you off in a good way. So anyways, I wanted to highlight that one, but any other highlights you guys would bring up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just is there are many movies who get listed that I've never heard of. And so, you know, if you're listening, you know, fun thing to do to kind of change it up from the usual TV show or stuff we binge on streaming is just to choose some of the movies you've never heard of. There was one I'm trying to, I think it's The Barber of, like, it was one of the documentaries that got nominated, and it was about a barber in I think it was somewhere in Arkansas, Little Rock.
Yes, Little Rock.
And it just is what he's doing to create economic development for his community. But it was just a great story.
It's a great story.
And I would not have discovered it if I had just not chosen to dive into the list. And so I think that's just a fun thing to do if you are like, hey, I've never seen this stuff. Choose a couple and watch them because they're on the list for a reason. I think most of what we see on there is just really good stuff.
That was a good draw out. That was a special short. I think it was a documentary short. Wes Anderson won his first Academy Award.
What, for what?
For a short movie that's on Netflix.
Oh, yes, yes. All those shorts are on Netflix.
I know, it's on Netflix. Those the wonderful are really story of Henry Sugar. And
that's cool.
And I mean, it's very Wes. I watched it and I was like, that was if Wes made a short movie. Yeah. but I just was like proud of him because I love his movies.
Yeah,
but,
same.
The Holdovers was a fave.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I just love that movie. And Devine. One's best supporting actress, and she's delightful in that movie. But it's like just it explores a lot of like what the idea of family, but not blood family. Like, how do you make your family? And like, it's just it was beautiful, and I was very moved. And there were several parts in that movie that just had me in tears. And Paul Giamatti did a really wonderful job. I understand why Killian won. But I was rooting for Paul.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this. Poor Things won a lot. I did not see it. I read up about it, and I'm not saying do or don't, but I'm saying use discernment. I think sometimes it's easy. I have friends that went to see that and they didn't know anything about it. And I was like, oh, what'd you think? And they're like, I kind of regretted seeing it. And I was like, yeah, it's not for me. And that is my choice. But I do think sometimes we can go, oh, well, it won an award, so it must be good. And you can kind of walk mm-hmm. blindly into maybe a scenario that you didn't want to be in. And so I would just, it's my little plug there.
Yeah.
I think discernment is good. And I think there are movies that are not always worth your time. And so that's yeah. just my little 2 cents.
No, I think that's really good. You know, it's for people, it's extremely explicit. It's
very explicit, yeah. very graphic.
Yeah.
It's also pretty problematic just at a conceptual
yeah.
place, because there's like a lot of, it's like a sort of a Frankenstein story, but it goes sexual very quickly. And she's kind of like childlike. So there's just, I just find there's a lot of,
there's issues.
Yeah, there's just a lot of issues.
And there's things that Hollywood or mm-hmm. or even just different, you know, a culture with a subculture of film and yeah. art and stuff. There's things they can celebrate that we don't celebrate. And I think you have to know yourself and yeah. you have to know, you know, I think sometimes we can be too, I only watch Christian movies or something like yeah. that. And I also mm-hmm. think you might be missing something there, yeah. but I do think there are movies that we shouldn't see. And yeah. that's one that I think is probably just off the table. That's my thought. I understand there's probably different arguments out there.
And there's the beauty of the streaming now is like you can fast forward a lot of things,
which
I do appreciate.
Yeah.
And I've done that with some of the other movies that yeah. came out. But yeah, I just want to plug
that's
that.
That's a good warning. That's helpful. Well,
is there a place
go ahead.
That you all go to read up on movies before you go see them?
Honestly, IMDb, I usually look at their thing because they've added detail to the content side. It's
does
like,
it describe like why it's rated,
yeah,
what it's
and
rated?
And you'll see it like, it puts it in categories and then it'll say like severe. So, you know, if a certain category like disturbing is really severe, then I know there's probably just some hard things and maybe I don't want to walk into that, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So.
What yeah. about you, Liz? Is there something you go to?
I'll try to look for reviews.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Christian review websites, also, you know, they give me a lens for what,
there's some parenting ones out there that I've looked at.
That's
before.
The one, yeah. I think it's Common Sense Media. Is that right?
No, that might be
ratings and reviews parents can trust. That's it. That mm-hmm. Look, we have kids.
Yeah,
so like, that's what we mm-hmm. go to.
You
it's like,
check.
You never know either.
Yeah,
you know, you
hard.
Pull something up and half the time I don't know why things are rated. There are times I watch a PG or PG-13 movie mm-hmm. and I'm kind of like, I don't know why that was that.
Yeah.
And then there are times I watch a PG movie and I'm like, this is terrible. You know, so it's just hard to like.
Yeah.
It's hard to gauge.
Yeah. I think Common Sense Media is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's certain topics too. And it's like maturity levels are a factor if you're considering your kids. Because it's like you said, The Boy and the Heron. It's like one of my friends took their kids. Her daughters loved it. You
yeah.
know, and your kids are. Maybe your kids were like, I don't understand. It's like, hey, listen, it's not for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you
yeah,
gotta totally. You gotta know your kids and you gotta know the topics. So
well, maybe last note, I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this, but it's like, you know, we're talking about film. We're talking about a film event that happens yearly in the Oscars. But you know, there's arguments that we should be creating an alternative culture, that Christians should withdraw. Mm. That they're like, you know, some people might be listening and being like, why are they talking about the Oscars? That's Hollywood. That's, you know, we're a Christian podcast. Why are they talking about seeing films like Oppenheimer or whatever? You know, it's like, I think our Barbie, like, what's our retort to that? Like, why is it, what's an argument for why Christians should be paying attention to these things? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to minister to people you don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for anything that you get to see stories that really highlight the themes and values and belief systems of the culture in a moment, and they provide an opportunity to see the ways in which, man, because our job, wherever we're at, is to be able to see that. And how does the gospel redeem that?
Mm-hmm.
How does the gospel make it more beautiful? But it's easy to enter into a conversation with someone about the movies, about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Right? It just provides a connection point. And I do. Yeah. I think sometimes as Christians, we can lack connection because we have isolated ourselves. And I do not think that's the picture scripture provides. It shows Christians in the mix of things, but with such a clear understanding of the gospel that they don't get caught up in the current.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to minister to people you don't know.
Yeah. There's something interesting happening right now with AI. We've talked about AI. But I think, like, if you were going underground and ignoring all of that, it would be easy to suddenly feel the effects of something that you didn't pay attention to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I think there's really interesting things happening in cinema, as an art form, as a storytelling medium, on a technical level, like just fascinating and, a little nerdy. That's my nerdy side. But also, the storytelling, like you said, it's like, it's, there's, was it C.S. Lewis? It's like every story has an element of God. And it's like, you can find beauty and you can find God in a lot of things. You can find him in nature. You can find him in a good meal. You can find him in a good movie that just moved you to think about him. And then there's also, it's like the culture is happening and, it's kind of hard to escape. So I don't want to be caught off guard.
Mm.
So I find it interesting. I'm just going to plug this, the AI stuff and like Hollywood, all the writer strikes. I think a lot of people were ignoring that, but there's actually really interesting like conversations happening around, what do we think about AI basically taking our jobs?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that could easily affect a lot of us Christians in our own jobs. And so like, I find that worth understanding and asking questions and reading about and trying to like, think about what I think about that. And I don't know. So if I ignored everything about Hollywood and culture, I would miss stuff like that.
Yeah. I think, just chiming in, art is a human artifact. It's the stories we tell, the way we make meaning of what's happening around us. And I think as Christians paying attention to that, so I don't actually think anyone should, this is hard, but you know, go have fun. That's really important. But I'm saying, I think we should always be aware of what we're taking into us because it forms us. But I think, even, you know, when you're just watching bubblegum pop movies, you know, it's like there's elements of those stories that are forming you. So my, you know, admonition is go in with eyes wide open, ready to test all that you see against the scriptures. And one of the things that I want to be acquainted with is what are the stories that humanity, my culture, the culture we're a part of or whatever, is telling themselves to make sense of this world, because I want to be able to offer a winsome, which God calls us to be, a winsome critique of that, to offer them something better, a source of true beauty. And I also want to be able to call out when somebody captures something that's real and beautiful. It's Paul being able to go into the area where all the philosophers are speaking, and he's able to speak and he brings up their own philosophers to name things and to show them truth. And so I do, you know, yes, part of it's nerdy, part of it's because it's fun, certain films. And a big part of it too is so that I can know and be winsome to Liz's point. And to your point on AI, I really think it's anti-art and I think it's anti-human. And I think we need to be a lot stronger in our critique, especially of the places where AI is not just like a tool to like, I don't know, help you like whatever, but where it's where
using
it's,
images.
Yeah, where it's that's an AI person. And that story was written with AI and that thing, you know, whatever. At that point, my argument is that this is anti-human, and I don't want to be a part of that because these are no longer they're
devaluing.
Yeah, and they're chopped. If you know how right now these kind of content generators work, it's like chopped up versions that a computer reconstructs. So there's still a human part to it, but it's made from the corpses of other human achievements. And so, yeah, I would warn us against that. And I'm thankful for even in that story that they chose to say, we're not going to use AI actors for instance. That's what they're striking against. So anyways, closing thoughts, Liz.
Go to the movies.
Go to the movies.
Be wise about what you watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good time.
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect.
Hold on. What was everyone's favorite movie? You have to pick one.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
Because this is 2023, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The movies that came out last year. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just, let me double check when this film was released. Okay. My favorite film of last year, although I think it's just being released in America, is called Perfect Days. It's a film by Wim Wenders, who is, I think, a German or Dutch, I don't remember, but he's a German guy. The film is about it's a super understated film about a toilet cleaner in Japan. And the whole film is about kind of the dignity of humanity and the dignity of work.
It looks delightful.
And the how extraordinary the ordinary can be. And so it's this man who just walks outside, smiles at the sun each day, does a job that everyone looks down on, but he finds contentment in it, and then stares at the trees. And I thought, in a world that is so busy and so clamoring to find peace in the midst of that was a meditative experience. So that was my favorite film. That's what I would have chosen.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you got yours?
I got mine. I don't know if it would be like Oscar worthy.
No. But this is the Elizabeth.
This is the Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And it is Maxine's Baby.
Oh.
It is a story. It's a documentary on the life of Tyler Perry. He is just has made so many films. It, to me, is just fascinating, his life story. It's a hard story. So if you want to go watch it, there's some hard themes in there. But Maxine is his mother. And so at the very end, you kind of hear his genius. You hear about his process. You hear about his pain. That's produced much of his genius. But at the very end, they asked, like, who is Tyler Perry? And he's like, you don't even know who I am. What are you doing? And he's like, how would you describe yourself? And he was like, I'm Maxine's baby. And just the depth of his relationship with his mother and just how powerful that was in the art that he's created. So it was a beautiful film. And I've watched a lot of Tyler Perry's art. And so it was just really powerful to hear kind of behind the story of the person who's created so many things that have been impactful. I would say heavily for the African-American community, but for anybody who touches the art he creates. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. I want to watch that.
Yeah,
What about you?
Put on my list. It's so hard. Okay. Well, one, I'm so sad that Past Lives couldn't win anything. But I think I'm going to pick Killers of the Flower Moon. I just think that movie was a masterpiece. And if it had released a different year, maybe it could have won something. Mm-hmm. I just think it was, that is a hard topic. The treatment of the Native Americans, particularly this one's circled on Oklahoma and the Osage. I have a lot of family in Oklahoma. This stuff runs deep, y'all. And I think they did a great job. And the acting is great. The cinematography is beautiful. The music is great. I think it's Martin Scorsese's best film.
That's a bold statement.
I know. But it's his best. He's always kind of struggled with a female character.
Sure.
He's very bro-y.
Yeah.
And every movie is like just a lot of guys. And the fact that because he could have told the story a lot of different ways, but the fact that he's centered on this one real person named Molly was, I thought, really interesting. And the performance is great and the story is great. And I just think it had me the whole 3.5 hours.
Yeah. I could even change mine to agree with you. I think it's an American film, and I love that. I think tells an American story
for a long time.
Yeah,
like Oppenheimer, I never need to watch that again.
Yes.
But I do want to watch Killers of the Flower Moon. Not like a lot, but like maybe in a couple of years.
Yeah, love that.
I saw something about the cinematography and just the way that he did the shots.
Yes.
It was just really it was just really beautiful just to see. Kind of his mastery and skill in that, just in how he produced it. So I'm glad
cool.
he got recognized.
So
yeah, he should have got recognized.
I know.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to Culture Matters. This episode is produced by Chelsea Conway with editing and support from the Good Podcast Company. Be sure to check the show notes to connect with us and the movies we love.